This weekend kicks off something called the Monarch Festival. I've also heard it referred to as the Pollinator Festival here in Bemidji. It's an initiative started by a group called the Birds, Bees, and Butterflies.
This is for Blondie and Dagwood.
Of Bemidji. And the festival's going to be going on for a couple of weeks. And Erica Bailey Johnson is here to tell us more about it. She's a sustainability director at Bemidji State University. And I've got her on the phone right now. Good morning, Erica. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks so much for talking, you know, letting us talk about this program. We're really excited to actually, I feel like I'm sort of in event withdrawal.
Yes.
I'm really excited to have this one. I mean, obviously, we've made a lot of modifications, but we still have a lot of really cool things going on, and I'm excited to share that.
Yeah, so it's been going on for two, is this the second year, or has it been going on longer?
Yeah, this is actually the fourth annual.
Okay.
And then I was just going to say, too, we tend to call it Monarch Butterfly Festival, because when we originally were planning it, and if we didn't put butterfly in there, the Monarch Festival can be confused with kind of a Renaissance festival sort of thing.
Monarch.
So we just stuck butterfly in there, too, just to make it clear that it was about the insect. And, yeah, so
wow.
Monarch Butterfly Festival is the title, like official title. And then we also got that title because I can't remember what year, this was about 5 years ago, I think, our mayor signed the Monarch Butterfly Pledge, the Mayor's Monarch Pledge, I think is the title of it. And she signed that, which dedicated our city to trying to do more to create native landscaping for pollinators, to try to educate people about the monarch butterfly. And so there's all these kind of these lists of things that we need to accomplish every year as a signatory of that document. So it kind of stems, it's like a big part of it stems from that document too, and that pledge by our city.
Wow. So could you talk about the importance of the monarch in our ecosystem?
Of course. I actually have kind of twofold ways that I look at this. One of them, obviously, is it's a pollinator, which we know that pollinators now are really important to ecosystem health. They not only, like, keep up the plants, you know, in our local community in lots of different ways by moving around to the flowers, but they also, I've heard the statistic as high as like about 30%, 40% of our food that's in the grocery stores, like when we go into the produce section, you know, wouldn't be possible without pollinators. Like, pollinators are the ones that make that happen. So they provide that service, you know, for free to us. And so that's one way that obviously monarchs play a role in being a pollinator in that way. You'll see them visiting lots of different flowers when they're looking for nectar. And then the second thing that I like to tell people is, for me personally, it means a lot because my Ojibwe name is Butterfly Woman, Mamengwe, and that brings its own responsibility. So for me, like anything related to butterflies, you know, monarch butterflies, their habitat, the caterpillars, their eggs, their nectar resources, all of it all together, like I really feel a deep responsibility to understand that they are part of this earth just as much as I am. And so to just respect that, I guess, you know, as a living species. And then, I mean, they're beautiful. They're kind of like, I'm not going to think of the word right now, but they're kind of one of those species that a lot of people notice because they're bright, they're pretty, they're a big butterfly. You know, people notice them. They have stories about them from when they were children. Being, you know, coming through when they're migrating, and people notice them. So it's one of those species that's sort of more easy to have people pay attention to and be like, oh, we need to make this habitat better. But then, honestly, like, you're probably making that habitat better for lots of species by putting in native plants and that kind of thing. So I would just say, I mean, one of the main things for monarch butterflies is that they're a pollinator as well as, you know, lots of other species, but they're one of those really important pollinators. And then they're one of those iconic species. And then also just that they're this other species on this planet that we should be coexisting with and honoring, and that they've been suffering in the last, like, I think decade, or it's been 10, 20 years that they've been doing, seeing a decline in their population, a pretty intense decline, so intense that they've been thinking about putting them on the endangered species list. So, just noticing and paying attention. And a lot of that work now actually comes from people, citizen scientists, doing projects and programs that can track that better, you know, because as you can imagine, it's sort of hard to know, like, this thing that flies around all over the place, like, how they're doing. But we have a lot of people paying attention now, and so they've been noticing that there's been a pretty severe decline in their population.
Wow.
Now, I'm seeing, at least in our small field that I have in Bemidji, just a really abundance of milkweed. Is that changing? Are people leaving it around alone?
I have all kinds of volunteer milkweed in my gardens, too. And, of course, I'm leaving it there. But where did it come from, I wonder?
Right.
That's so good to hear. And I've heard that a lot. And I'm hopeful that that's the case. I don't monitor. And I don't know of people that really monitor milkweed. I know I sort of, like, casually, you know, like, informally pay attention to it in our community because I care about it so much. So even on campus, I'm sort of, like, paying attention to where the milkweed's popping up and trying to move it if it's in the way, or even in our own yard. I've been trying to have it become established, which it did about 10 years ago, and so it's been spreading, because once it gets established, it'll spread by rhizomes, you know, under the soil, so it'll just spread out. And I still think it's like a magic plant. I don't exactly know how it works, because I swear to God, I probably spread about 5,000 seeds before I, you know, got them to go. And I don't think they can be easily transplanted, because I don't think that's really worked for me yet either. But I feel like people are starting to recognize it as a beneficial plant. Honestly, for a long time, it's been on the, I don't know if it's a noxious weed list or something, but a USDA, like, get this plant out of here kind of list.
Wow.
So,
right. I remember that as a kid, that my dad wanted me to always pull up milkweed. And,
yeah.
And it was just something that he wanted. He grew up, I think, thinking you had to pull it up all the time. And I suppose if you're raising a crop, you don't want it mixed in with whatever you're raising. But
yeah. Yep. And it's interesting, right, that it's called milkweed.
Yeah.
So I think for a long, long time it's been considered a weed and people have pulled it, but I feel like the table's turning on that and we're becoming more educated. I know I've had a couple conversations with people that honestly didn't, like, know that milkweed was the only host plant of monarch butterflies. So, I mean, it is the one that they lay their eggs on and the one that the caterpillars consume, and that's how they become a little bit toxic, is because not, and it's kind of a cool niche because not a lot of other species can do that with the milkweed. It has this kind of toxic sap, but they found a way through evolution to figure that out, and then they become, like, impalatable, like, they don't taste very good either, and then the butterflies don't taste very good. So it's sort of this really cool relationship between the milkweed plant, which we do have quite a few different species. Like, I just learned about this year. I knew about common milkweed. We see that. That's the one that you guys are probably referring to, and I know that's the one I have in my yard with the big, nice big leaves and pretty tall. But I think I read there's at least 5 or 6 species locally, and I think about 14 or 15 in Minnesota. And so I was paying closer attention this spring to the milkweed, and I saw about 4 or 5 different ones just around in fields that I'd never really noticed before. So there are different species of milkweed around that the butterflies depend on, and I think it's really been something that our community has started to recognize as a beneficial plant.
Yes. We're talking with Erica Bailey Johnson. She's a sustainability director at Bemidji State University. And She is involved in the Monarch Festival going on for the next couple of weeks. I just wanted to ask you, so we know milkweed is really important to the monarch butterflies, and I know that you have, or BSU has planted some pollinator gardens, and you've posted some video of butterflies just, and bees and pollinators just happily buzzing around. What are some of the best plants we could plant that these creatures love?
Yeah, such a good question. So we planted lots of different beds on campus, and it's been really fun because I don't have any, you know, formal background in landscaping. And so it's been sort of a process. The first bed I think I planted was as a grad student in 2006. And so since then, it's been this kind of like plant a bunch of different things and see what likes it, see how it likes that place. And so over the last 15 or so years, I've noticed that the monarchs really love in the fall, they love the Leatris genus. So that is you'll also hear it called Blazing Star is its common name. And there's a few different varieties. So there is Prairie Blazing Star is one. And then the one that all of the ones in the video that you're referring to that I posted were on were called Rough Blazing Star or Meadow Blazing Star. I think it's the same plant. At least they look the same in the pictures that I've looked at online. But Meadow Blazing Star or Rough Blazing Star is what they're really like all over. And you'll see those plants in the ditches, honestly, like right now too. You can see them every once in a while. So that's a really, really one that they prefer. And then I see them a lot on Echinacea or the purple coneflower. Mm-hmm. Right now, I also see them on the, I think it's a compass plant, or it's like a tall plant with yellow flowers. I've seen them on, what else have I seen them on campus? It's mostly been the blazing star, honestly, that I really noticed them preferring. Mm. But those are some of the species that would be really beneficial to add to a space.
Excellent. So what's going to happen? I know that this event is going to go on for several days virtually, and there's stuff going on. People can attend an art show that's opening Friday night. Could you break down some of the events for the Monarch Festival?
Yeah, so we're really excited. I just want to give props to all the people that have been coordinating this. Peter Buesler with Audubon, Marsha Larson at City Parks and Rec with Jamie too, Anderson, and then Lori and Jill at Watermark. We've kind of been the little core group that's been working on trying to pull this together. And so it's been we try to move the Monarch Butterfly Festival. This is the fourth annual, and we've been trying to move it around to different parks or different spaces. And so it's the first time we're like partnering with Watermark Art Center, and they are going to be hosting a, since it is the birds, bees, butterfly group that we are part of, they are going to be hosting a Audubon exhibit, and that will open on the 12th on Saturday. That's kind of our big opening. And then there's also a part of that exhibit that has local people that have submitted photographs of pollinators on native plants. And so I'm really excited to see that. My son and I actually submitted, so we'll see, my 13-year-old and I. But I'm really excited to see what other local folks have submitted for that display. And then, so they'll have an opening, I think that's on the 12th. They also have a couple things going on at Watermark. One of them is for a acrylic virtual painting class, and that one is you can sign up for it. It's on September 28th will be completed paintings, and then they have a link that will become active for the class on the 19th. So that's one of the things that Watermark is doing. They also have a pollinator to go kit that they're going to be having available starting on the 12th, so from 1 to 3. And all these details you can find on our Monarch Butterfly Festival 2020 Facebook page. So if anybody wants to look up more details about how to get involved in those things with Watermark, and then they have obviously their exhibit. The other thing that we're preparing for today is we have a kickoff with Mayor Rita Albright. and she will be opening it off for us on the 12th, and we'll have a link on our Facebook page that will be talking, she'll be talking about the Monarch Pledge and different things the city's doing, and then the rest of us will be talking about the different events. And so that will be something I'll be available on the 12th too. And then another piece that I'm excited about personally is I'll be working with Allison Barda this week, and she's kind of our local butterfly expert. And she is going to be sharing her season report, we're calling it. So she pretty much goes out almost every day all summer, and she has her locations where she looks for these rare and rare species of butterflies to see how they're doing, and kind of just as, oh my God, like amazing wealth of knowledge about our local butterfly scene. So she'll be sharing, and we'll be posting that link on the 19th, so the next Saturday. And then some other things that are going on are our Parks and Rec Department is going to be doing some, like, lots of fun events. They're going to be having a chalk event at the park. They're also doing pollinator boxes with some really cool activities inside. That's also on the Facebook page. And then the other one I wanted to mention was, or actually two more. One is a really awesome resource that Peter Buesler has worked hard to put together. And it's like a native plant garden tour is what he's calling it. And it is basically a resource on Google Earth of all of our, like a lot of our local native plant beds that people could go to see. And then they have a little like paragraph that goes with them, so you can read a little bit about it, and you can try to look for the different species that they talk about that are in that garden tour. So if you wanted to see, right, like some of these plants, you know, you're asking Katie about what can I plant, you could go to these different places, kind of look and like see what plants are in there and try, you know, work on identifying them. Because I think that's probably the number one thing for even myself is getting to know the plants and their names and where they like to grow and that kind of thing. So that native plant garden tour is also on the Facebook page. And then the last thing is a Resilient Yards fall planting webinar hosted by Blue Thumb. And this is one that people can attend for free. It's on Wednesday, September 16th, so right in the middle of that week at 6 p.m. And it'll help folks just know, like, what can I plant in the fall? Is there any, you know, tricks to planting in the fall and that kind of thing? So that's another event that's happening during this Monarch Butterfly Festival.
That's great. People can prepare their yards for next summer then.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds really exciting, and there's a lot of people at play in this event, and which is also very exciting for our whole community.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, there's been just a really fun group. We've been meeting now for, I'd say, 5 years, and lots of really, like, really great partnership. I mean, the Audubon came in at about year two and has made a big impact on all of the projects and programs and the funding. So I know Peter's worked hard to get a lot of the funding that's made a lot of this possible. And then we also have Master Gardeners, you have the Garden Club of Bemidji, we have the Master Naturalist Group that are also part of our cohort that meets pretty much monthly throughout the year to plan projects and programs.
Excellent. Thanks, Erica. The Facebook page is Monarch Butterfly Festival?
Yep, Monarch Butterfly Monarch Butterfly Festival 2020.
Excellent. So people can check that out for all the activities and the schedule. And just to remind us again, what is the Ojibwe word from Monarch?
So the Ojibwe word is Mamengwa.
Mamengwa.
Yeah, Mamengwa.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much, you guys.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Monarch Butterfly Festival.
That's great. That was Erica Bailey-Johnson, Sustainability Coordinator for Bemidji State University.